Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Book of Hebrews. We are in verse 14 of chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14 and reading through chapter 5. This is God's word. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed in matters pertaining to God for the people, to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he is also clothed with weakness. Because of this, he must make an offering for his own sins as well as for the people. No one takes this honor on himself. Instead, a person is called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not exalt himself to become a high priest, but God, who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have become your father,' also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' During his earthly life, he offered prayers and appeals with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was the son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. After he was perfected, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And he was declared by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." We have a great deal to say about this, and it is difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness, because he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We have a great high priest. That's how this section starts. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession." The reason that we can endure and the reason we must endure is because of him. If it was riding on us, forget it. You and I, even if God said, "Okay, I'm going to come right now and wipe the slate clean. Everything you've ever done, I'm forgiving. From here on out, don't mess it up or you're going to hell. Well, we could all throw in the towel. We all have messed up. And if our righteousness was what we can manufacture in the flesh, it would just be filthy rags. But God not only provided the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but he credits the righteousness of Jesus Christ to our account, so that we are declared righteous in his sight, not on the basis of our works, but on the basis of Jesus' righteousness. Well, if that's the case, as Paul describes in Romans, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. The fact that Jesus' righteousness is credited to our account is not an excuse to go out and live as if we had not been born again. But the reason that we are to do acts of righteousness is out of gratitude to God for the salvation he has brought to us. We're not earning our salvation. We're not even earning part of our salvation. We are displaying our salvation because God, in his mercy, has saved us. We are rescued by him and made righteous because of what Jesus did. The consequence of that is that if his Spirit now lives in us, more and more, we're going to be like him. We're in a process of transformation from the inside out. We're not trying to just adopt a bunch of rules and customs and hope that eventually that gets inside. We are increasingly doing the right thing because of what God has done in us. So, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Let us do what we do, which God commands, on the basis of who our high priest is, on the basis of what he has done. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Elsewhere, the scripture says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. You may think that some of your temptations are uniquely yours.
No one else has ever faced the struggle that I face.
Well, actually, particulars of circumstances may vary from person to person, but ultimately, we all struggle with the same basic thing. It may manifest like this or manifest like that, but at its root, it's just plain old sin. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. That wasn't the only time, but that was the famous time. He was tempted in the wilderness for a period of 40 days and 40 nights. And the three temptations that are recorded in the Gospels that came at the end of that time when he was hungry, 40 days without eating. When Jesus was hungry, the tempter comes and says, if you're really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Show me who you are. Who do you think you are? Now that temptation came on the heels of Jesus' baptism when the Father said, you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But Jesus now is being tempted to doubt the word of God, tempted to do something that God hadn't told him to do, tempted to use supernatural power in order to gratify his physical needs. If you've ever been tempted to do something selfish just for your own gratification, Jesus can relate to that. But Jesus was not just tempted that way. Jesus was tempted to throw himself down off the pinnacle of the temple. Now, if any of us confesses such a thing to someone, they will surely encourage us to get help, because the fact is, there have been many, many, many more people. I've read perhaps as many as 100,000 more people in the U.S. who have died from suicide since the first of the year than have died from COVID-19. Suicide's a huge problem, because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can get you to do his work by taking yourself out, then he's won a little victory. Jesus was not suicidal, but he was tempted. If you're tempted, don't be ashamed. Not only do you need to say no, you need to ask for help. Don't give in. The devil's a liar, and he's the one who wants you to destroy yourself. That's not something you want to do. And it's certainly not God's design for you. But then, the most shocking is that Jesus was tempted to bow down and worship Satan. If somebody came and told me that that was the temptation they were facing, let's just say I'd be shocked. That's an unusual one. But the reason for the temptation was the enemy was saying, if you'll do that, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. Satan's a liar. Jesus did not give in to temptation ever. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. If the devil tempts you, don't let him turn around and tell you that you're guilty and ought to be ashamed for being tempted. Temptation and sin are not the same thing. But when temptation comes, know that we have a high priest who understands what temptation is. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Don't give up. Come boldly before the Lord and say, God, help me. I don't want to do those things I'm being tempted to do. I want to do your will. I want to yield my life to you. I lay me down. I lay me down.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And he talks about in chapter 5 the fact that every high priest taken from among men is appointed in matters pertaining to God for the people. The purpose of the priest is not to represent himself. It's to represent the people. Jesus represents us. He's able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he is also clothed with weakness. Now, speaking of other high priests, he says this, verse 3, because of this, even the high priest must make an offering for his own sins as well as for the people. Now, how is that different from Jesus? Jesus never sinned. But the high priest, other than Jesus, is one who not only has been tempted, but one who sinned and therefore needed a Savior. Now, no one takes this honor, verse 4, no one takes this honor on himself. Instead, a person is called by God. In the same way, Christ did not exalt himself to become a high priest, but God, who said to him, "You are my son," also says, "You are a priest forever," according to the order of Melchizedek. Although he was the son, verse 8, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Now, that doesn't mean he was disobedient before. It means in order for the perfect, sinless Son of God to become the obedient, suffering servant, there was a price. He had to suffer in order to become complete. We think of suffering as that which messes us up. God uses suffering to refine us, to make us complete. The Bible speaks often of the refiner's fire and of God refining his people like gold. If gold is to be pure, the other stuff has to be gotten out. And the way that is done is by heating it up. When you and I get heated up in persecution or suffering of various kinds, did you ever notice that sometimes impurities come to the surface? Have you ever noticed that when you're going through a really difficult, painful time, sometimes what rises up is not praise to God? Well, God's not trying to punish you. He's refining you. And Jesus, who didn't have impurity, still had to go through that refining process and suffer in order to learn obedience. And after he was perfected, that is, made complete, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who, what? Obey him. Not for all who think, yep, I can believe that. Yeah, I think that's true. But those who trust and obey. If you do not trust, if you do not believe, you will not obey. So, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And he was declared by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, there's going to be a lot more said over in chapter 7 about Melchizedek. So we're not going to pursue that line this morning. But I want you to see that whereas the other high priests had to come from the line of Aaron, Jesus, who was from the tribe of Judah, was not part of the Aaronic priesthood. He was after the order of Melchizedek. And we'll learn more about that in days to come, God willing. He says in verse 11, "We have a great deal to say about this, and it is difficult to explain, since you've become too lazy to understand." Bap, bap. That's what the author's doing here. He's saying, if you have a hard time understanding this stuff, it's your own fault. Well, that's not the way to keep people happy. Well, every now and then we need to be told the truth. And sometimes the truth about us is uncomfortable. But you know, I mean, my nature, lazy. If you can relate to that, then you need to understand it will make things harder to understand. Because some things, in order to be understood, you got to work. You got to work at it. You got to study. You got to dig. You got to ask questions. He's saying to these people, you've become too lazy to understand. Although by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. Catch that word. It's not that you're supposed to just come into this world knowing it, or as soon as you get born again, boom, you're supposed to have all the knowledge. He's saying if you don't take what you've been taught and begin to put it into practice, you lose it. And the problem is if we do that with God's revelation, we stay immature. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness. Notice what the message is about. He's inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature. Who are the mature? Those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. There's something wonderful about the innocence of a child. And we are supposed to remain innocent in the sense that we do not delve into evil and try and learn all we can about what those bad people are doing. But we're not supposed to be naive. We need to know our enemy's strategy. We need to know our own weaknesses, and we need above all to know the character and promises of God. The mature are those whose senses have been trained. That's a process. It takes work. It takes practice to distinguish between good and evil. I just want to ask you, how are you doing? Where are you in that journey? Say, well, you know, I'm still pretty young. I think I've got some time to learn. Yeah, hopefully you do. But are you working on it? Do you know the way that you learn to distinguish between good and evil? You do what God says. The more you obey him, the more it solidifies, that's good. That's right. Obeying God is the thing to do. The way that you lose your sensitivity and find it all so confusing, the world is just a big gray mass, and I don't really know how to distinguish. The way that happens is when you're playing on both sides of the fence. When you're dabbling in sin, you will end up confused because you didn't train yourself to lay hold of that which is right and to forsake that which is wrong. When I was a preschooler, I still remember it. The soil was rich and black, and I liked chocolate. So I'll let you guess what happened. But I just wondered if it tasted like chocolate. I made a little mud pie. And I tasted it. Didn't taste like chocolate. What are you doing with your life? Are you making mud pies? Wondering how it'll taste? Thinking, maybe this is okay. I know God says no, but that can't be that bad. Love what is good. Hate what is evil. And your senses will be trained to discern the difference. And my goal is not to see how it tastes to me. My goal is to do what pleases him. That's how you become mature. Remember, God has set you apart for His purposes, and He's given you a high priest who understands what temptation is, now calls you to trust and obey.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.